Let us turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 51 and verse 1. The book of Isaiah, chapter 51 and verse 1. Isaiah 51 and verse 1. To me, ye that follow righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Amen. The sermon, the message today is entitled The Rock and the Pit. The Rock and the Pit. And as we progress, I trust the Lord will make clear the meaning of the title of this sermon. Now, the prophet Isaiah, he prophesied during the 8th century before Christ in Judah. This was a time marked by political instability due to threats from neighboring nations, the expanding Assyrian Empire, alongside with social injustices and a decline in faithfulness to Jehovah. So clearly, this was a difficult time to be a man or a woman of God in the days of the prophet Isaiah. The word of God, righteousness, was challenged both from outside and from within Israel. And so the Lord raised up Isaiah to address all of these challenges to the ways of God. He begins by saying, "Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness." Praise God. God always addresses those who follow righteousness, and he always addresses those who follow unrighteousness. Today, with the help of God, we are focusing on those who follow righteousness. Amen. Have you been a servant of righteousness? Have you determined to walk in this, on the straight and narrow path? Praise God. Then this message is for you. God always has a message for those who follow after righteousness. Amen. Just as well as he has a message for those who follow after unrighteousness. You see, the message of Isaiah called for repentance. The message of Isaiah warned of impending judgment upon the people of God. At the same time, and throughout, the message of Isaiah provided hope through prophecies of a future Messiah. Amen. So God was telling the righteous, continue with what you are doing, because a virgin will give birth. They shall call his name Emmanuel. He spoke to the righteous and said, a son will be born, a child will be given to us. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Hallelujah. So when you look at Isaiah clearly, he is comforting the righteous. The future is for the righteous. The unrighteous cannot look to the future for comfort. The future is the enemy of the unrighteous. But the future is the friend. It is the blessing. It is the servant of the righteous. Say with me today, the future is my friend because I follow righteousness. Amen. But if a person is righteous, the future is good. The future is inviting. You have nothing to fear from the future. We should pray for God to hasten the future. We should pray, Maranatha, Jesus, come. The future is the friend of the righteous. Note that down. Hallelujah. We're not afraid of tomorrow, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So tomorrow is the friend of the Christian. Tomorrow, we will inherit the promises of God. Tomorrow, above all, we will see God. Hallelujah. Ah, we should rejoice in regard to the future. The future is the vehicle which will bring our Jesus, our beloved Jesus, into our lives physically. We will see him. We will know him in a way we've never known him. So comfort your heart with this thought that we serve him today so that we will not fear the future, because we will see him in the future. So Isaiah was comforting the people of Israel, the righteous people, in regard to the future. Now, if you are a born-again believer, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the most powerful identity in the universe. Let me repeat that again. If you are a born-again believer, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the most powerful identity in the universe. Such individuals are hewn or cut out of a rock, Isaiah is saying. Listen to what he says. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence you are hewn. Do you know you've been cut out of a rock? Who are you? Say, I am cut out of the rock. That is who I am. Who is this rock? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the only God, the Alpha, the Omega. You are cut out of this rock. How about that? Amen. Praise Jesus. Can you compare this to people who tell you, I am from the USA? I am from Russia. I am Hutu or Tutsi. What? I am cut out of the rock. Do not put your identity to shame by focusing on things which really are completely messed up compared to the true identity of who we are. Look, he said, to the rock from whence you are hewn. Is your rock your nationality on this earth? Poor you. Come on, hallelujah. No, 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 no. Say with me, I will look to that rock from whence I have been hewn, hallelujah. We are taken out of a rock, brothers and sisters. We are going to talk about this rock today. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Maybe when the world says, let's rock and roll, the Christian should say, yeah, yeah, we know about rock and we roll, but our rock is Jesus and we roll in the Holy Ghost. Yes, we rock and roll, but our rock and roll is different. We rock in Jesus. Every rock upon, no, every rock me rock upon Jesus. Jesus' name, so sweet. Every rock me rock upon Jesus. This is a rock we're going to talk about today. I want you today, from today, to know you are built upon a rock. You are taken out of a rock. Christians should be the most solid people in the universe, the most stable people in the universe. Amen. Jesus told Peter, you are Petros. Before that, he was Shimon. But he said, you are Petros. And upon this Petra, Petros is a small stone taken out of a big stone. Jesus said, upon this Petra, this revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he is the flesh and blood of Jehovah. This is our Petra. This is the rock, brothers and sisters. Jesus did not build the church upon Peter. Big mistake. Never. Peter is dead. Jesus built his church upon himself. He is the rock. He is the Petra. And we are all Petroses. So when one Petros disappeared, there are millions of Petroses. Where do you think every small stone comes from? I assure you, every small stone came from some big rock. From some big rock. Hallelujah. So when the devil killed Peter, he realized he made a big mistake because there were millions of Peters popping up till today. Hallelujah. Say with me, I'm Peter also. Say, I'm Peter. I'm Petros. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Matthew 16, verse 8, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, Petros is a small rock, Petra, two different Greek words. Upon this Petra, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. As long as there are people who say Jesus Christ is the one true God, he is also the Son of God, he is the flesh and blood of Jehovah, the gates of Hades cannot prevail against the church. Amen. Can we shout hallelujah? Has nothing to do with what the name of your church is or where the headquarters of your church is. Doesn't have anything to do with it. It depends what you believe about Jesus. As long as you believe he is the Son of God, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is a revelation from heaven. He said, you are Petros. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Hallelujah. The moment somebody says this, that person becomes a part of the foundation of the church of Jesus Christ. You become a part of the building of Jesus. Wow. And Satan's forces cannot prevail. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. Once we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that his body is begotten of the rock, that is God, our salvation is certain. Our salvation is immovable as Mount Everest, hallelujah. And our God is greater than every mountain, hallelujah. He's bigger than every mountain, every problem, hallelujah, every question. We sing that song, hallelujah. And we are born of this rock. Say, I'm born of this rock. Hallelujah. We are born of this rock. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32 and verse 18. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32 and verse 18. Moses reminded the children of Israel. Listen to the words of the Bible. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Moses chided the children. He rebuked them. Of the rock that begat thee. See, we are begotten of a rock. You say, what? A mountain? A rock gives birth? Yes, because that rock is Jesus. Jesus gives birth. Amen. Of the rock that begat thee, O Israel, thou have been unmindful. No. Petros will never forget Petra. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Let us proudly say together, brothers and sisters, the Lord is my rock. Amen. He's my rock. Amen. Hallelujah. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. How many songs do we have talking about God as our rock? Look to that rock from which you have been hewn, Isaiah said. Are you going through problems? Are you going through doubts? Is there instability without and within? It doesn't matter what your problem is. Look to that rock, amen, from whence you are hewn. You need to know who you are. You need to know of what stuff you are made. Amen. Christians are made of the hardest, most powerful stuff in the universe. Amen. It's a rock. We are born again of that rock. That is Jesus Christ. We need to remember our origin. We need to remember what we are made of. Let me tell you, a rock, the rock that Moses spoke about, is a rock made of flint, the Bible says. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 15. Deuteronomy 8, verse 15 says, "Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, and drought, where there was no water? Who brought thee forth out of the rock of flint?" Flint. Let me share. If I can share a picture, Sister Kaminoff, I would appreciate that. So what is this flint that our friend Moses is speaking about? Well, this, I'm trying to access, for some reason I can't, my desktop. It seems to say there's no access. I don't know why, so I leave it. But if you can help me to get a picture of a flintstone. The Flintstones, the cartoons, not those guys. You see, a flint is one of the hardest rocks that you'll find in nature. It's made of sediments of limestone that, you know, just accumulate over millennia, thousands of years. Yeah, the one which says flint there on the left-hand side corner, the first one. Thank you. Look at this. Look at flintstone. The rock that Moses spoke about, and many Bible scholars believe that the reason the book of the first five books of the Old Testament focus a lot on the rock and being cut out of a rock and this flint is because when they went to Mount Sinai and Mount Horeb, remember the Ten Commandments were hewn. God cut it out of the rock of that mountain. So probably God wrote the Ten Commandments on stone like this to show us this is the hardest stone and the word of God is forever. Praise God. And so we need to understand God, you know, the children of Israel, Moses told, God told Moses to carve or to fashion 12 marble pillars out of this rock. And these marble pillars were supposed to represent, or flint pillars, the 12 tribes of Israel. Because God was showing them that the tribes of Israel will be permanent. They will be solid. Even the 12 gates of the New Jerusalem have the names of the 12 tribes. So God told Moses, make columns of stones, hallelujah, out of this stone. He carved the Ten Commandments out of this stone. That is why Isaiah reminded the children of Israel, look to the rock. You people, you've forgotten. God took you all to Mount Sinai. Every morning they would wake up and look at this huge mountain. With smoke, there was smoke coming out of it. There was lightning, there was thunder. God was reminding them, he is their rock. He is the Petra. Hallelujah. Jesus is our Petra. Thank you. You can remove the picture. So God wanted to leave Israel with this, you know, powerful image at Mount Sinai. You are the people of the rock. You are founded upon this rock. There's no nation like you, Israel. Amen. Just as a mountain stands majestic. Have you seen powerful mountains? They stand there, fearless, year in, year out. Let there be storms. Let there be mighty winds. Let there be floods. Seasons come and go. Humans come and go. But the trees come and go. Animals come and go. But the mountain stands in majestic splendor, praise God. Our God is forever. Amen. Our faith is forever. Our faith will overcome everything and everyone. Our rock is not like their rock, Moses said. Hallelujah. Say with me, we have a rock. We're a people of the rock. Our rock is Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. In Jesus' name. May the Lord be your rock. May you never be shaken by nothing in the name of Jesus. Praise God. That's why Jesus said, even if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, hallelujah, be thou cast into the sea and it will obey you. Wow. Imagine that. Do we know how powerful our faith is in Jesus? Amen. Look to the rock. Look to the rock. Hallelujah. A mountain stands there in the heat of the desert. You know, the heat of the sun wears out everything, but it seems to have no effect on the mountain. The mountain stands there. Praise God. This is our faith. This is our God. This is our Jesus. Say with me, I am hewn out of the rock. I am cut out of the rock. Let us turn to the book of Psalm, chapter 18, verse 2. Psalm 18 and verse 2. Psalm 18, verse 2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower, praise God. Say with me, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my rock. Let us look at Psalm 18, verse 31. Psalm 18, verse 31 says, for who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? Amen. Who is a rock? Save our God. Praise God. Psalm 18, verse 46. Psalm 18, verse 46. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted, said David. Say with me, blessed be my rock. I hope you know who your rock is. I hope you love your rock. The Bible says Jesus was the rock that followed them in the desert. Amen. Whenever they would become weak, there was a rock that followed them in the desert. A rock that reminded them, God Almighty is with them. He is our rock, hallelujah. Your rock is following you in your life. Amen. Let me remind you. What was so powerful that Moses could not enter the Holy Land? What was so powerful that Moses forfeited his right to enter the Holy Land? Let me tell you, it was because in his anger, he forgot that the rock pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot treat the rock however you want. You need to love the rock. You need to praise the rock. You need to thank God for the rock. Be careful how you treat the rock. Because the Bible says in the book of Numbers, chapter 20, verses 10 and 11, And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. Notice, they gathered together before the rock. The church always gathers together. Right now, I'm telling you, we are gathered before the rock. Jesus could open some of our eyes and show us that we are standing before a huge mountain, which represents Jesus. So what happened? The Bible says, he said unto them, "Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" Notice how Moses is speaking about the rock. God only told him to speak to the rock, nothing more. But Moses lifted up his hand with his rod, he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. Notice that God will always bless his people, but he will reckon individually with everyone. With wisdom, he took Moses aside and he said, "Listen, you struck me twice. The command was to speak, not to strike. And anyhow, when you strike, the rock was to be struck once on Calvary, on Golgotha. Moses, there's no excuse. You're the most humble man in the world. You're a great man. Nobody deserves the punishment that you got, but you're not understanding. The rock represents Jesus. You can't do this with the rock and go unpunished." That is why Moses accepted his punishment. Moses knew what he did was basically a very, very serious sin. Let's be careful how we treat the rock that is in our midst. Jesus, we may insult Jesus, he may still bless his people, but he's going to hold you accountable for how you treat the rock. Amen. May we treat the rock with respect in the congregation. May we love the rock and worship the rock, who's Jesus. Don't misunderstand, we don't worship stones. We don't go around the stone like the Muslims do and kiss a stone, no. We don't make idols like Hindus do, no. Our rock is Jesus. Hallelujah. He was following them in the desert. Praise God. He must be respected in the camp of Israel, in the camp of the church. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Say with me, he's my rock. He's my rock. Praise God. Hallelujah. We cannot command the Lord, our rock, to do anything for us by force. We can only speak to the rock. We can only pray and plead with the rock. Amen. Like I said earlier, there was a reason God took the children of Israel to Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb. For many months, they would wake up and look up at the heights of this majestic mountain, the rock from whence the Ten Commandments were cut. Later, when everything around them seemed to collapse, the prophet Elijah went to Mount Horeb. Why? Because everything around him was crumbling. He felt that his world had come crashing down. Where will I find stability? Where will I find my rock? He went to the rock in Mount Horeb. Praise God. He looked to the rock from whence he was hewn. When you are discouraged, look to the rock from whence you are hewn, from whence you are cut. The rock is still standing there. Elijah climbed the mountain. He went into the cave. He sat inside. He said, "I will die here in my rock. Oh, my rock, embrace me. Oh, my rock, hallelujah. Put your arms around me." The rock will empower you again to go back and to do battle against Jezebel. Praise God. Do you know your rock? when life becomes difficult, unbearable, who do you go to? Which rock are you trusting in? You know, some people, the moment they begin to panic, they start to call certain so-called rocks, which are not rocks. They are sinking sand. Don't call the sand when you have the rock. Don't call the miry clay when you have the rock of ages. Hallelujah. Don't call water when you have the mountain to stand upon. And then you will call somebody else, and then somebody else, and then somebody else, and then somebody else. You know why we keep calling many people? Because we didn't call the rock. If you call the rock, you won't call anyone else. Praise God. Like David said, he's my rock. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. I hope you have one rock. The Lord our God, Jesus, is that rock. Your name shall be no more Simon. It shall be Petros. And upon this Petra, hallelujah. Oh, wow. Amen. Praise Jesus. May you rediscover Jesus as your rock, the only rock. Amen. Climb your rock. Enter into the cave of your rock like Elijah did. Hallelujah. From the rock came the Ten Commandments. From the rock came the 12 pillars of Israel. From the rock comes everything. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32 and verse 31, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 31, the Bible says, "For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges." The enemies were saying, their rock is not like our rock. Their rock is a real rock. Amen. Praise God. That's why I said, let's rock and roll. In Jesus' name, praise God. Rock and roll takes on a different meaning here. Amen. We stand on the rock that is Jesus, and we roll in the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Finally, one of these days, say with me, one of these days, praise God, hallelujah. Our rock, Jesus, will return. He will destroy the kingdom of the Antichrist. Note how the prophet Daniel described it in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verse 34. He says, "Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces." Wow. There is a stone coming, brothers and sisters. A stone, a rock. Notice that rock is cut without hands. You know what this means? The Christian and the body of Jesus himself were the product of the Holy Ghost. Say with me, the Holy Ghost. Without hands, not of this world. Hallelujah. Amen. Where did we? Where did these stones come from? The Petroses. When you are baptized in Jesus' name, it's like Jesus' invisible hand. The Holy Ghost goes into that mountain, which is Jesus, and from his body takes out a little stone, a little part of that body, the word, hallelujah, he gives us of his body. We put on Christ. Do you see what the angel is saying? A stone. Cut without hands. I could not see who is doing it. It's not with human hands. It's not the work of humanity. Hallelujah. Praise God. Made higher than the heavens. How shall this be? How shall this body come into existence? Ah, the Holy Ghost will come upon thee. The power of this invisible hand will produce the body. The word shall be made flesh. Say, I'm the Petrus. In baptism, I receive the Petrus. This body is indestructible. Say, indestructible. The rock. We received it from Jesus. This world, the devil may do whatever they want to the body of Adam. The body of Adam is not the rock. It's not the stone made with our hands. But we know through repentance and baptism in Jesus' name, we who believe Jesus is the one true God, hallelujah. And this one true God, his word was made flesh. Why? So that we can put on that body. We can be born of him. We can say we have been begotten of that rock. Can you imagine the language the Bible is using? The rock from which you are born. How does a rock give birth? My goodness, there is a rock that gives birth. Christians know all about it. We are born of a rock. We are the children of the rock. Believe this, because that is what happened to you when you were saved, according to Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You have become, you are born again of the rock. Jesus gave you the personality of a rock. He told Peter, Satan wants to sift you, but I've prayed for you. And when you are strong, the Christian is made to be strong. Say, we are made. Our destiny is to be a rock, to be stable. Amen. You can huff and you can puff all you want, devil. But when the storm and everything finishes, Mount Sinai is still standing. Hallelujah. Praise God. I will look to the hills around Jerusalem, David said. My help cometh from the Lord who made, hallelujah, the heavens and the earth. Oh, praise God. No wonder the mountains inspire the holy people of God in the Bible. Jesus would go to the mountain to pray. He took his disciples up to the high mountain to remind us of who we are. We are the rock in Jesus' name. Stop saying, I'm weak. I'm nothing. God have mercy. I sometimes want to catch Christians and shake them and tell them, open your eyes in Jesus, your spiritual eyes. See what you have been born of. You are born of the rock. Believe it, and you will see. Nothing will shake you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, we are the rock. The Lord is my rock. I am Petrus. I am Petrus. The devil does not shake me around anymore. He tried, but he realized it's too heavy to try to shake a mountain. So he goes around to shake other little stones. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are born of the rock. So there is a rock that is hewn out of a mountain. Jesus himself, the word made flesh. He will smash the kingdom of the Antichrist. Destroy the whole image. Because I told you that stone is more powerful than the whole image made of gold, silver, brass, iron. You see how powerful this rock is? You say, when did a stone crush iron? This stone is called Jesus. He made iron. He made diamonds. He made gold. And he knows how to crush it in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. He will destroy the kingdom of the Antichrist, the stone hewn out of the mountain. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let me conclude the first part by saying, and say with me, their rock is indeed not like our rock. Their rock is not like our rock. When people trouble you unnecessarily, always remember this. Their rock is not like our rock. But we need to look at the second part. So firstly, let's go to Isaiah 51 verse 1 again, to the second part of the message. He said, hearken unto me, ye that follow righteous, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock from whence you're hewn. That means you look up. because you are cut from a big mountain. But now, paradoxically, he says, look down also. Look down to the hole of the pit whence you are digged. Wow, this is amazing. Let's look at this. So while we look to the rock that is above, we should also simultaneously remember the pit of sin from which the Lord Jesus dug us out. Ah, are you with me? See how beautiful the word of God is? It's amazing. See how poetic, metaphorical. There's no book like the Bible. There's no God like our God. There's no writing like the writing of our God. There's no poetry like the poetry of our God. Even William Shakespeare, the greatest writer in the English language, admitted. I mean, what would Shakespeare be without the Bible? He used to read the Geneva Bible. He was inspired by the Bible. It's amazing, he said, the imagery, the graphic descriptions, the poetry. These people who are nobodies, no talents, no gifts. But when you are moved by the Spirit of God, everybody becomes a Shakespeare. Hallelujah. He said, look to the mountain. Hallelujah. Look to the rock and look to the pit from whence you are dug. You know, we have another origin. This is to balance things. This is to remember. If you forget the rock, you're in trouble. And if you also forget where God took you out from, do you remember how you were stuck in the filth of the miry pit? I remember. Remember, this is a pit. Yeah, that means the devil dug a pit. We went in to sin and we couldn't come out. And we were sinking, sinking every day, sinking to rise no more. And from the pit, we cry to the Lord, deliver me from this pit. Let me not sink into this pit, Jesus. Let me tell you, sin is a pit that will never release you. And the more you try to dig yourself out, the more you will keep sinking. Those of you who drive cars, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you get stuck in a rut. And what is the first piece of advice you get and you know you shouldn't do? You shouldn't try to give gas and come out, because you will just be digging yourself deeper into the rut, making it worse. But we still do it. That is how it is with sin. We know we shouldn't be digging to try to get ourselves out, because you can't get yourself. And you'll keep sinking, sinking, sinking. Do you think the bank robber who killed many people in the bank just started off by one day saying, let me go and become the most dangerous bank robber in the world? No. He started, or she started, by first, you know, cheating, maybe family, then friends, robbing, small things here and there, not realizing the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. And then once you begin to dig a little bit into the pit, it doesn't stop there. We know the nature of sin. You keep going deeper and deeper. Whatever your sin may be, unless you rebuke it in Jesus' name, repent in Jesus' name, apply the blood of Jesus upon your sin, and cry out, look to heaven, and look to the rock. From the pit, you look to the rock and say, oh, my rock, Jesus, pull me out of this miry pit. Remove me. I am now half buried into this pit before it sucks me clean and I disappear from the face of the earth. Hear me, O Lord. Deliver me. Hallelujah. Do you remember Joseph in the Bible? His brothers threw him into a pit and let him die there. They thought nobody will ever pull him out of that pit. But Joseph has a rock. Yeah, he had a rock. He looked up to the heavens. Oh my God, deliver me from this pit. Hallelujah. You remember Daniel in the Bible. They threw him into this pit with lions, and nobody ever emerged out in one piece. But he has a rock in heaven. When sin wants to take you into the pit, remember that you have a rock. Look to that mountain from whence cometh your help. My help cometh from God who made the mountains, David said. Oh, my rock, my deliverer, deliver me. And both Joseph was taken out of the pit and Daniel was taken out of the pit. Hallelujah. When Peter was sinking into the pit of the water of the Galilee, he cried out to Jesus, Lord, save me, help me. His rock took him out. Praise God. Say with me, there will be no pit which will swallow me in Jesus' name. No pit will swallow me in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. As long as I have the mountain, the rock, no pit is going to swallow me in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come out of that pit in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Who knows? Somebody will be hearing this message who is becoming a drug addict. And he used to sing in church in the choir. And he used to witness to people in Jesus' name. And you knew about the beauty of holiness. And you used to hate sin. But now, one thing led to the other. And you are sinking, sinking to rise no more. And you feel that you are tumbling into this abyss. Let me tell you, the God who raised up Joseph out of the pit is still alive. His name is Jesus. Call upon his name. Hallelujah. The only person God will never pull out of a pit is Satan. He will throw him into that bottomless pit. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's where he deserves to be. For 1,000 years. How does it feel next time? Somebody say, next time you meet Satan, I hope you don't meet him. But you should ask him. You know that you're going to be tumbling down into a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. What do you think about that? Imagine tumbling down a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Can you imagine that? Wow. The God we serve, it's mind-boggling. I don't want to experience that. No, thank you. I want to go upwards. I want to hear Jesus say, come up hither. Hallelujah. I don't want to go down into a pit. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Our God will pull us out of the pit. He said, Isaiah said, look unto the rock whence you were hewn and to the hole of the pit whence you were digged. Wow. What words, what beauty, what poetry, what truth. This is our experience, isn't it? We go high and high. And we also keep looking back to see that we are not going back to that pit from which we were taken out in Jesus' name. They threw Joseph into another pit called prison. God took him out from there. You can throw a Christian into any pit. Jesus will take them out. I believe him. We don't belong there. Hallelujah. In the book of Genesis, chapter 37 and verse 28, the Bible says, then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. You know, when God is with you, he will use the enemy in this case. You know, it's amazing, isn't it? We remember Ishmael. God used the descendants of Ishmael to take the great-grandson of Abraham out of the pit and sell him to Egypt. The same Ishmael who Abraham sent away. Even our enemies become the servants of God, the instruments of God to dig us out of the pit, although they sold him. Ishmael is still doing bad things through his children. But we love, God loves Ishmael. We love Ishmael. We pray for the salvation of Ishmael. But you see, even our enemies become the servants of God. God will command our enemies, pull him out of the pit. I command you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Imagine one day the enemy pulling you out of the pit. Not because he loves you. He's greedy. But God is in control. God is in control. Always remember that. In Psalm chapter 40 and verse 2, notice the words of the man of God, David. He said, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock, established my goings. I love that old hymn. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today. A song of praise. Hallelujah. We are singing the psalm when we sing the song. He brought me out of the miry clay. David was singing this. When were you in a miry clay, David? Don't forget when he committed adultery and murder. I can assure you, there is no pit as dark as that. David was sinking, sinking, sinking. We know how he suffered in Psalm 51, Psalm 139. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Wash me, cleanse me with hyssop. Saints of God, don't stay on the mountain. Stay on the mountain with the rock. Don't go back to the pit. It's horrible. Especially for the Christian who has been on the mountain. Then the contrast, the contrast is so sharp that it's brought into new relief. It's so tortuous. We need to be careful. You know, David, thank God, God sent Nathan, the prophet Nathan, to take him out of the pit. You are this man. Praise God. God sent Nathan to pull him out of the pit in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Look back at your life. Thank God for the Nathans. Thank God for the Ishmaelites. Whoever God used to take you out of the pit, thank God for them. Hallelujah. You know, sins can be compared to a dark, deep pit from which one cannot escape without assistance, because they entrap individuals in a cycle of despair and moral degradation. Just as a pit isolates and holds a person captive, sin isolates a person from God and others, and it creates an environment of confusion, shame, and hopelessness. This is a pit. When one finds himself or herself ensnared by personal sins, social injustices, or even the grips of addiction, it can feel impossible to climb out alone. However, say however. Thank God for the rock. However, the hope of rescue shines through as God extends his hand, much like a caring figure reaching down to pull someone from the pit. He offers us mercy. He offers us forgiveness. He offers us strength, praise God. By acknowledging our fallen state and seeking divine assistance, we are lifted from the mire of our sins, restored to solid ground, and given a new path to walk, demonstrating the transformative power of grace in our lives. Somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. This is our God. We have waited for him. He pulled us out of the miry clay, the miry pit. Praise God. Hallelujah. After committing adultery with Bathsheba, orchestrating the death of her husband, Uriah, King David fell into a deep pit of sin and guilt. But God used the prophet Nathan to dig David out of this deep pit. The apostle Peter experienced shame and despair after denying Jesus three times. Can you imagine the pit that Peter was in? He wept bitterly. In the pit, there is no tears that we shed like in the pit of sin. But thank God he used the rooster, the cock crowed, to help dig Peter out of the pit of shame. So what? God used a chicken? Yes. I told you he uses Ishmaelites. He uses chickens. He will use anything to pull you out of the pit. He used King Darius to pull Daniel out of the den. Ah, praise God. Don't worry about what God will use. The important thing is cry unto him. Cry out to him. He will pull you out of that pit. Hallelujah. But after the resurrection, Jesus forgave Peter. He reinstated him. He affirmed his mission. He demonstrated the profound truth that God can lift us from the depths of our failures. Indeed, as I conclude, let's look at Psalm 51, verse 1 again. Look unto the rock from whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you are digged. By looking both up to the rock and down to the pit, your salvation will be secure. We need both to look up and to look down, to keep walking on the straight and narrow path of salvation. Say with me, I will look up and I will look down. I will look up because that is a beautiful place to be. Amen. That is a rock where I'm secure, where the wonderful things happen. When you're in church, you're singing, jumping, revival, you're on the rock. But sometimes you need to look back and remember the pit from which Jesus delivered you so that you will not play with sin. You don't want to go back to that sin. That's why God told David, write about that pit of sin so that everybody will be warned how horrible was that pit. Write about it. Peter, Mark, you're the son of Peter. Write about Peter's pit so that Christians will always know. Look to that pit from which you were digged. You were dug, we would say today. I don't know which pit you were dug out from, brother or sister. But please don't go back there again. Amen. Stay on the rock and avoid the pit. Praise God. Don't let Jesus have to keep going back again into that pit to take you out. Let's stay on the rock today. Praise God. Jesus bless you. We thank God for this message. Let us bow down and pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this message. You're the God who delivered us out of the miry pit. And you set my feet on the rock to stay. We are on the rock today. The rock is Jesus. There is no rock like our rock. We thank you, O rock of our salvation. O rock that followed the children of Israel in the desert. O rock from which they drank to their heart's satisfaction. O rock that watched over them, blessed them. I give you the glory, Jesus, my rock. I thank you that we are hewn out of this rock, out of you, the garments, the body of our salvation through baptism in Jesus' name is the same material. It's the same word made flesh, indestructible, not of this world, a building made without hands, made higher than the heavens, cannot be defiled. Hallelujah. Oh, what a rock, what a rock, what a rock. We thank you for the rock. We bless you. I pray for any Christian who is in the miry pit. Stretch forth your hand, Jesus. Pull them out of that miry pit. Send the Ishmaelite, send Nathan, send the rooster. Send whatever you have to pull your people out of the rock in Jesus' name. We bless you. We rejoice in the God of our salvation, the rock of rocks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Jesus bless each and every one of you.